Okay, so it's Parshat Beshalach, and today is, Thursday, January 13th, Yud Aleph Shvat. As Mora Nosenchuk said, it is almost Tu B'Shvat. You can feel the sap running through the trees, please God. And we are doing Parshat Beshalach, which is the first time we see Miriam's name. So I wanted to take this opportunity to focus on Miriam this week. And we're going to do little snapshots of Miriam's life, starting from the rabbinic tradition of her first appearance. And for those of you who know me, you can imagine that this was a little bit difficult because I'm only doing one or two sources for each of these little snapshots, but you'll see that they're very thought specific snapshots that give over under... I have an agenda in what I chose in how we're portraying Miriam in this week's Parsha. And as I gave this share Monday night for the LMS Sisterhood, and I'm going to preempt, now that I thought about it, that it was a... Somebody mentioned at the end of the share that it was a perfect match for the patira of Rebbetzin Tema Kamenetsky, who embodied what a true Eshet Chayil Tzadeket Jewish woman really is in all of the, everything she contributed to the world in her lifetime. So we'll have her in mind, her neshama should have an aliyah. And so we will, before I start, I learned the most interesting tidbit of information. So if you've been taking my class, you know how much I love the Malbim. So I was listening to a shir last night on YU Torah by Rabbi Aaron Rakefet, who is a noted historian of Jewish history in America, I think, and he gave over this whole history that the Malbim was actually set to move to America to be the chief rabbi of America. And unfortunately, he died as he was packing up to move, but he would have been the chief rabbi of America. So an interesting little historical fact for all of you who have been taking my shiurim and learning the Malbim with me. There's no Malbim in this shiur. I have Malbim on this week's parsha of him, but one of the things that I cut out for the sake of brevity. Okay, so the first time, according to rabbinic tradition, that we meet Miriam is Shmot Perek Aleph with the midwives. So we see here, Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim Lamialdot HaIvriot, and the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, Asher Shem Ha'achat Shifra V'Shem Ha'Shenit Pua. The first one was named Shifra, and the second one was named Pua. I'm not going to get into all the details, but the Marasha, who focuses, he has a whole pavirish on the Agadita, the story aspects of the Gemara, explains how the way in which they're introduced, Shifra and Pua, implies that these are women that we know in a different context. And we speak a lot, we've spoken before, about the conservation of biblical personalities of the Bible, which is a theory that I like to describe it as if you are the casting director of an epic film called the Bible, and you have a very tight budget, so you look for roles that can be played by the same people. And this is actually one of the most famous examples of that, Shifra and Pua, where we say that they are indeed Yocheved and Miriam. And you can relate their personality traits from what we know of these midwives to what we know of Yocheved and Miriam, and they really do match up in terms of wanting to save people, fearing God, wanting to do the right thing, helping the Jewish people to be fruitful and multiply, all of those things. So the Vayomer Beyaledchen et HaIvriot, and he said to them, when you are birthing the Hebrew women, or Item al HaAvnaim, and you see them on the birthing stones, Im ben hu v'hamiten, if it's a son, you should kill him, oto, v'im bat hi v'chaya, and if she's a girl, you can let her live. V'tirena hameyaldot et HaElokim, and the midwives feared God, v'lo asu ka'asher diber aleha melech Mitzrayim. And they did not do what the king of Egypt told them to do. Vatechayana et hayeladim. And they enabled the boys to live. So, and the grammar here is interesting because the command from Paro was just let them live. But what they actually did was they enlivened them. It's a stronger form, a stronger grammatical form. It went from the pa'al, the basic form of the Hebrew verb, into the pi'al, which is the stronger, more intense form, that they didn't just let them live, but they enlivened them. You can read that into the dikduk, the grammar. So here is the first source, and I just have to give a caveat that I could teach an entire shiur on just the midwives, but we're just doing one little source on them. So this is from Shmot Rabbah. Havahu dechtiv vayomer melech mitzrayim lemiyaldot. So on our pasuk that the king of Egypt says to the Hebrew midwives, mi hayu hamiyaldot, who were these midwives? Rav amar kala v'chamota, yochaved ve'elishava bat aminadav. So one opinion, according to Rav, first generation Babylonian rabbi in the Gemara, he said that they were a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, Yocheved and Elisheva bat Aminadav, who would become the wife of Aaron. And you may have heard of Elisheva's famous brother, Nachshon ben Aminadav, who was, according to tradition, again this week's Parsha, the first one to step into the sea to make it split. He showed courage. So that's who Aaron married his sister. So one opinion says it's a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman amar isha ubita. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman says, no, it's a mother and her daughter, Yocheved v'Miriam. V'lo hayu l'Miriam ele chamisha shanim. Miriam was only 5 years old. She Aaron gadol m'Moshe gimel shanim, because Aaron was older than Moshe by 3 years. So that may sound unbelievable to us today, but if you see videos or pictures of third world countries, 5-year-old girls can accomplish a lot. Amru Razal, so the rabbi said, Holechet haita im Yocheved ima ve'osa tzarchaha. She would go with her mother and help her with all her needs. Ve'aita zriza, and she had alacrity, zrizos. She'ad she'tino katan hu nikar, because even a small child, while they're still very young, it's still recognizable what their traits are. Husha amar Shlomo. This is what Shlomo HaMelech said in the book of Proverbs. Gam b'malalav yitnaker na'ar. And the full pasuk is, even a child is known by his doings if he is pure and his actions are straight. Which is actually a beautiful pasuk. I didn't think about it much when I said it before. But that only you can be known if the child's actions are good and straight. Meaning that even if a child doesn't behave well, if they're not pure and straight, then we would see the redemptive power within him, and that we don't say that this is who he or she is. Only if they're good do we say this is who he or she is, which is beautiful. Okay. Asher shem ha'achat shifra shahaita mishaperet et ha'tinok. So when we find different characters in Tanakh that we associate as the same people, we have to explain then why they're called by these different names. So why was Yocheved called Shifra? Because she would beautify or improve the baby. So if you know anybody with the name Shapiro or Spiro or Sapphire even, that all comes from this root of Lishaper, to improve or beautify. Kishehu yotze malei dam, when the baby would come up filled with blood. So Yocheved would beautify them, clean them up. Pua, shaita nofa'at yain betinok achar ima. And Pua, because she would blow bubbles into the wine for the tinok, for the baby, with the mother, in front of the mother. Devar Acher, another explanation, Shifra Shaparu Virabu Yisrael Aleha. So another explanation why she's called Shifra, having nothing to do with Shapiro or beauty, but breaking it up, the She becomes that, and the Para is a verb of being fruitful, Shaparu. That they were fruitful and multiplied, that Israel was fruitful and multiplied upon her. Pua, shaita mafia et hatinok kishayu omrim mate. Pua, because she would blow into, she would do some kind of CPR to the baby when they would say that it was dead. Devar acher, shifra sheshafra ma'aseha lifnei Elokim. Shifra, because she would improve she would make her acts pleasing, beautify her acts before God. Devar acher, Pua shehofia et Israel Elokim. Pua, because she lifted Israel up to God. She made Israel appear to God. She called attention to them, I guess. Devar acher, And this is why I included this particular version of this midrash, because there's lots of midrashim that explain why their names are Shifra and Puah. So this is the one that I wanted to include. Puah shehofia panim keneged paro. She would lift her face before paro. Vizakfa chotma bo. And she was angry. She would turn up her nose to him. Ve'amra lo, and she said to him, oy lo le'oto ha'ish kesheyavo alokim lipara mimenu. Woe to this man when Hashem exacts his revenge from him. Okay, imagine this little girl saying this to the all-powerful Paro. Nitmale aleha chama leharga. Paro was filled with anger to kill her. Shifra, so why is she called Shifra now? Shaita mishaperet al divrei bita. She would improve on the words of her daughter. Umifayeset aleha. And she would find peace with her. Amralo, she would say to him, Atamashkiach aleha, you're paying attention to her? Tinokati, she's just a baby. Ve'ena yodat klum, and she doesn't know anything. So here we can also see not just Miriam's personality of this alacrity, zerizus, outspokenness, saying her mind, having a deep sense of justice and right and wrong, but we also see Yocheved's personality of quiet, under the radar. It's the first act of civil disobedience in the Torah. She knows what she needs to do. She gets it done, and she quietly does what she knows is right. She doesn't make a scene. Okay, so that brings us now to our next snippet, which we spent some time on when we talked about Yocheved. So we're going to focus on different psukim here. So this is from Shemot Perek Bet, with the birth of Moshe. So it begins, Vayelach ish mi beit Levi, vayikach et bat Levi. So a man went out from the house of Levi, and he took a daughter of Levi. So this is very strange when you really think about it, because the man went out, he went, but normally when you tell me that somebody went, you're going to tell me where he went. And this doesn't tell us where he went. And not only that, but we know that this whole story is about the conception and birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, and yet we know who these people are. They're Amram and Yocheved. And we saw in the previous Midrash that Miriam and Aaron are older than Moshe. So how can it be that a man went from the house of Levi and he married a daughter of Levi and then they conceived their third child? You understand the questions? So Rashi there explains, Vayikach et bat Levi, he took the daughter of Levi, Parush hayamimenu, he was separated from her, Mipnei gzerat paro, because of the decree of paro, Vichazar vilakcha, so he went back and he took her. So they were actually divorced, and Amram was leader of the Jewish community of the time and encouraged all of the husbands to divorce their wives. It's, if you just zoom out a little bit to know what's going on, which is a very different scenario than our world, is that if a couple didn't want to have children, whether they weren't yet married or they were married, the only solution in ancient times was to divorce if they didn't want to have children. And it's only in the last 50 or so years that we have these birth control options that allow us to get married at young ages before we're ready to have children, or to continue to be married when we don't want to have children. And it's just a whole new phenomena for rabbis to come up with responsa for this phenomena of delaying having children or separating between children, not necessarily just through natural means of breastfeeding. Different things. So that's just an interesting thing to think about. So they were divorced, v'chazar v'laka, and he went back and he remarried her. V'zehu v'yelach, and that's why it says, and he went, shehalach be'etzat bito. He went after the advice of his daughter. So that's where he went. She'amra lo, that she said to him, gezeratcha kasha mishel paro. Your decree is worse than Paro's. In Paro gazar al hazcharim, Paro made a decree on the males. Ve'ata gam ken al nekevot, but you're not allowing males or females to be born. Ve'hechzira ve'asaba likuchim shniim, and so he took her back, and they made a second wedding. Okay, so now we're going to expand on that in this next midrash. And it says, Devar Acher Moshivi Akeret HaBayit. So this is Psikta Rabati. And here it says it's talking about remembering Chana. It's talking about a pasuk from Tehillim. So this is from Tehillim 113:9, which is what we say as part of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh and holidays. So he sets the childless woman among her household. And the end of the pasuk, which we're going to see at the end of this midrash, is as a happy mother of children. So this midrash actually goes through all of the childless women that we know, beginning with Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Chana, all the childless women we know that eventually had children. But in this instance, it says, Amar Rabbi Birchia b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, Zo Yocheved. This is Yocheved. V'chi akara haita? But the rabbi says, she wasn't barren. Hare yalda Aharon v'Miriam. She had Aharon and Miriam already. Ela at motzeves sha'as she'gazar paro kol haben hayalud hayo'ora tishlichuhu. Rather, when you find that Paro made the decree that every boy that's born, you should throw him into the Nile. Kevan she'shama Amram ken, when Amram heard this, hu ubeit dino be'oto sha'ah gazru umanu Yisrael mipriya urvia. So he and his Beit Din, so he had a group of other leaders of the Jewish community, at that same time made a decree, and they withheld from Israel being fruitful and multiplying, which, as I mentioned before, necessarily meant marriage, meaning everyone had to get divorced. V'hotziu et nisheihem, so they all took out their wives. Et nishei ami tergreshun b'mbeit ta'anugeha. So from Micha, this pasuk, you drive the women of my people away from their pleasant homes, you deprive their infants of my glory forever. Lefichach kora et Yocheved akara. And that's why we can call Yocheved akara, which we usually translate as barren, but it also means shenit akra mibeita, to be uprooted, and she was uprooted from her home. So instead of reading it as he sets the childless woman among her household, it's he sets the uprooted woman back into her household. Miriam haita otasha abat sheshanim. So Miriam at that time was 6. We saw in the other one she was 5. So just discrepancies. The amra, and she said, Abba, Abba, Paro haya tov li Yisrael yoter mimcha. Paro was better to Israel than you. And here you can see, consistent with Miriam's personality of being outspoken and having a sense of justice and right and wrong. Lama, why are you worse than Paro? Paro gazar b'scharim. Paro decreed on the men. Ve'ata b'scharim uvenikevot. But you are decreeing on both male and female. Paro gazar safek nitkaima gzirato safek lo. When Paro makes a decree, because he's an evil man, is in another version of this midrash, it's a doubt whether his decree will come about or not. Ve'ata, but you, Abba, because you're a tzaddik, gazarta v'nitkaimai gazaratecha. You decreed, and your decree will be upheld. Kevan sheshama Amram et devareha, when Amram heard her words, heviota lifnei Sanhedrin. He brought her to the body of rabbis, the Sanhedrin, and this, now you can see why I chose this specific source, ve'amra lifnehem, and she presented her case before the rabbis. Talk about encouraging traits that are good in a child and allowing them self-expression and to flourish. So imagine little Miriam presenting her case before the Sanhedrin. Ve'amrulo, and so the rabbi said to Amram, Amram, ata asarta ve'ata tarich lehatira tadavar. Amram, you forbade and now you have to permit the thing. Amar lahem, he said to them, Uma tam omrim li? Nachzor b'chashai? So he said, what do you say to me? Shall I go back quietly? Can I quietly remarry my wife? Amru lo, they said to him, Umi modia l'chol Yisrael, who's going to inform all of Israel? Amar Yehuda bar Zveda, Hoshiva Amram b'puria v'haya Aaron, Mikan u'miri mikan to'anim karkanot u'mehachim l'faneha. So Rabbi Yehuda bar Zveda said that Amram sat her on this bridal couch, and Aaron was on one side and Miriam was on the other side, and they had castanets and were marching before her. Beruach HaKodesh Tzavachat, and the Holy Spirit screamed out, Moshivi Akeret HaBayit Em HaBanim Smecha. he sets the childless woman among her household as the happy mother of children. Vilama asav Amram Kain. Why did Amram do it in this way, this very public, loud way? Kadesh she'yidu Yisrael, so that all of Israel would know, v'yichzeru et nesheihem, v'yachziru et nesheihem, and that they would all bring back their wives. V'kevan she'ra'u, amru shira la'kadosh baruch hu. And when they saw, they said a song to God. V'lo amru shira, ela amru achshav Moshe ha'goel, nolad ve'anu nigalim mitzrayim. And they said, and another opinion says they didn't sing a song. Rather, they said, now Moshe, the Redeemer, will be born, and we will be redeemed from Egypt. And the following prayer, that the following chapter of Tehillim that we say on Hallel is, Halleluka b'tzeit Yisrael mimitzrayim. Praise be God in our going out of Egypt. So they had this prediction, and they're tying the words of Hallel to this time period, that's what they sing. Okay. So we've seen Miriam as a midwife and her outspokenness to Paro and Yocheved's quiet civil disobedience. And now in this case, we've seen Miriam's outspokenness in her father's decree, and we've also seen Yocheved's quiet acquiescence to her husband's words. So in this case, we also see how both mother and daughter complemented each other and in fact saved each other's lives. Yocheved saved Miriam's life when she was inappropriately loud and defiant to Paro. But Miriam also saved Yocheved's life when she was inappropriately quiet with her husband. And in enabling them to get back together, Moshe Rabbeinu was born, who would be the Redeemer for the Jewish people. Okay, so now we're up to this week's Parsha, which is the first time that we see Miriam's name. So we saw her name as Pua in the first chapter, and then we saw her just as the daughter of and the sister of in the second chapter. And now we hear her name, and we hear her name in a very interesting context. So before we look at that pasuk, we're going to look at the first pasuk of the Song of the Sea, which is part of our davening every day. So the first pasuk says, Az Yashir Moshe, Uvnei Yisrael et Hashira Hazot. Then Moshe and the children of Israel sang this song. Vayomru lemor, and they said, saying, Ashira Lashem ki ga'o ga'a. I will sing to the Lord, for very exalted is he. Sus v'rochvo roma bayam. A horse and its rider he cast into the sea. So you see, I highlighted the word Ashira. I will sing. So remember that. And now we're going to go to Miriam. So the whole Song of the Sea is then said, and that's what we have in our davening. And at the very end, we hear Miriam. Vatikach Miriam ha-Nevia, and Miriam the prophetess took. So not only do we learn her name, but we learn that she was a Nevia, Achot Aaron, and we learn that she was the sister of Aaron. So it's a lot of adjectives here of things that we didn't know and we did know about Miriam. So we didn't know she was a Nevia per se, and we did know she was the sister of Aaron, which makes it even weirder, because at this moment that Moshe was the spokesperson for God and he brought about with God's help all of these plagues and led the people out of Egypt and put out his staff to separate the sea, we're going to say that Miriam's the sister of Aaron? That's very strange. So we'll read Rashi in a second. So what did she take? Et hatof biyada. She took the timbrel in her hand, or the drum, tambourine, something. Vatetzena kol hanashim achareha. And all the women went after her. Bitupim uvim cholot. With timbrels or drums and dancing. And the micholot here are specifically circle dancing. Kaf aleph vata'an lahem Miriam. And Miriam answered them. This also, I once did a whole shiur just on this. Because she answered them in the masculine. What does that mean? Who are these people? We're not talking about that today. So Miriam answered them, Shiru Lashem. Okay, so remember I told you to remember this word, Ashira, I will sing. And Miriam changes only one word, otherwise everything else is the same. And she says, Shiru, sing. There's a debate among the commentators whether Miriam did indeed sing with the women the entire song at the sea. You see that this is verse 20, so the song lasted 19 verses, or did she only sing this one line? So again, not the topic of this shir, but just so you know that that exists. So what's the difference between ashira and shiru is something we will explore. But first, we're going to explore what it means, Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron. So famous Rashi, Vatikach Miriam HaNeviah. Miriam is the first woman to be called a prophetess in the Torah. Avraham is called a prophet before. We know that Sarah was a prophetess also from the rabbis, but she's not called a prophetess. Miriam's the first one to be called. And the Haftorah for this week, which features Devorah, who is also a prophetess. Okay, so Heichan Nitnava. So when was she a prophetess? We don't see anything in the Torah that she prophesied anything. Kishahaita Achot Aaron. She was a prophetess when she was only the sister of Aaron, meaning before Moshe was born. That's why it says the sister of Aaron. Kodem shenolad Moshe, before Moshe was born. Amra, she said, Atida imi shetelad ben. In the future, my mother will give birth to a son who will redeem Israel. Kidi'ita basota, like we see in the Gemara. Devar acher, another reason why she's called Achot Aaron, the sister of Aaron, Lefisha Masar Nafsho Aleha Kishenit Star A Nikret Al Shmo, because he risked his life for her when she was afflicted with leprosy, Tzara'at, and therefore she's called by his name. There are other explanations that say that it was common, like we saw with Elisheva, that we know is the sister of Nachshon, but Aminadav, that a lot of women are mentioned in relation to their oldest brother, and Aaron's the oldest brother. So there's a couple explanations. And then the second question that Rashi asks on this is that where did they get the drums? They're leaving Egypt. They don't have much time to pack. They didn't even have time to let their bread rise, and yet the women have these drums. So, batupim u'micholot, with their drums and their circle dances, muftachot hayu tzadkaniot shebedor, the righteous women of the generation were so confident shehakadosh baruch hu oselahem nisim, that God would make miracles for them, behotziu tupim mimitzrayim, that they brought their drums, their timbrels out of Egypt in preparation to be able to celebrate at the miracles that they knew Hashem would perform for them. Okay, so this next source combines a couple of the different biblical sources that we've looked at of snapshots of Miriam's life. So this is based on a pasuk in Mishlei, Proverbs, Chochmat Nashim Banta Beita, the wisdom of women builds her house. The second half of this verse is that crookedness destroys it. So we're going to see that who is this wise woman, who is this referring to, who built up her house? So this says Zo Yocheved. I didn't include it here, but the continuation of this says that the crooked woman who destroys her house is Zeresh, the wife of Haman. But we're on the wise woman. Zo Yocheved, Sheamida Shlosha Tzadikim. Yocheved held up three righteous people. And we looked at this part when we did Yocheved. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Ushloshtam zachu l'shamesh et Yisrael. And all three of them merited to serve Israel. I like how the Torah is attributing credit to Yocheved for her wonderful children. Moshe al-Haman. Moshe, the Jewish people got man, again this week's Parsha, in the merit of Moshe. Aaron al-Anane Kavod. Aaron, the clouds of glory. Umiriam al-Haba'er. So the continuous flow of water among B'nai Israel as they were in the desert was in the merit of Miriam. We're going to see more about that later. Bishloshtam hayu nevi'im, and all three of them were prophets. So Moshe and Aaron will skip. You can read those in the English. Miriam Menayan, how do we know Miriam was a prophet? Shenamar vatikach Miriam ha-nevi'ah achot Aaron, our pasuk. Amar Rav Huna, man nevu'a nitnava. Rav Huna said, what did she prophesy? Amra le'avia, she said to her father, Atida imi leled ben shemoshia et Yisrael. So here's a few more details of this prophecy that we didn't hear before. She said to her father, in the future, my mother will give birth to the savior of Israel, to a son that will be the savior of Israel. V'kevan shenolad, and when he was born, Nitmale habayit shelo ora. The entire house filled with light. Amad avia v'nashka arosha. Her father stood up and kissed her on the head. Amar la biti nitkaima nevuatech. He said, my daughter, your prophecy has been fulfilled. V'kevan shehishlichuhu le'or. But when they had to throw him into the Nile River, amda ima v'tafcha arosha. Her mother stood up and hit her on the head. So if you thought that, based on what I said before, that they always had a perfect relationship, they had their rocky moments as well. Amrala hechan nevuatech. She said to her, where is your prophecy? And if you're following along in the English, this is the one version that has her mother doing this action and saying this. The other versions of this have the father, consistent with the father praising her before. So those are the different versions. I chose this because of the mother. But besides the lack of faith in her and in her prophecy from her parents, she still stood strong in her prophecy. Amar, as it's written, so this is from Perek Bet up here. So back to how Amram taking Yocheved as a wife, and she gave birth to Moshe, and she was able to hide him for 3 months. And after 3 months, Yocheved made him this waterproof little basket. And then Pasuk Dalet, Vatetatzav Achoto Mirachok, his sister stood from afar, Lidea Ma Ye'asel Lo, to know what would be done to him. So this shows the firmly held beliefs of Miriam, her faith in her prophecy, her faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that she wasn't willing to give up, and she stood from afar. And what our Midrash is going to do, it's going to take each of these words, each of these seven words, I think, and show you how each of them relates in different psukim to some prophetic message. And so that's what is going on here. You can see in the Hebrew, I bolded each word, and it gives psukim that relate each of those to some other experience of prophecy. And that's how the Midrash ends, to show Miriam's steadfast faith that good things would happen to the Jewish people, and she knew it was happened, and she wanted to stay to witness that. Okay, now we get to the Me'or V'Shemesh. So he is Rabbi Kalonymus Kalman Halevi Epstein. We have two Kalonymus Kalmans. And this one is from the 18th to 19th century, as opposed to the one we're going to see later, who's 20th century. And Me'or V'Shemesh is considered one of the foundations of Hasidic thought. Kalonymus is a Greek name. It Kalon Nomus. Kalon means good, and Nomus is name, so it's like a Shem Tov. It means Shem Tov. Okay, so let's read it. Whenever anybody talks about women and Parsha B'Shalach in Miriam, they always bring this in if they are familiar with it. I think, based on how I've seen it used sometimes, I think sometimes it's misunderstood as a statement on women in general. It's a discussion, it's within a longer discussion, it's pretty long, and it's about masculinity and femininity and the hierarchical order of this world. So in this world, we have a hierarchy, and he seems to hold that men are higher up on the hierarchy than women. It's a patriarchy. As opposed to in the next world, where there will be no hierarchy, there will be no gender. It's interesting how we're feeling that energy in the world today, and we somehow have to harness it for the holy. And there will be no hierarchy. And this idea of the mechol, the circle dancing that Miriam and the women did, is the circle represents the lack of hierarchy. And in Shirat Hayam, in the Song of the Sea, when they say, Ze keli ve'anvehu, this is my God, and I will build a house for him or beautify him, So we've spoken before about how the word zeh, when it appears, means there's tangible, something you can see and point to. We talked about it with HaChodesh HaZeh, Rosh Chodesh, that there was something Hashem could point to for Moshe, that Moshe could point to. So zeh keli means that something was seen that they could actually point to that was in God's image. We don't know what it was. And the Midrash also tells us, and Rashi repeats it, that the lowly handmaid could see what the prophet Yechezkel could not see. So there is some very high level here, and it could be the Ma'or v'Shemesh hints that this, they saw it, Olam Haba, the next world, and this complete lack of hierarchy. So when you imagine everybody in a circle pointing to something, and that something maybe is in the center, so if you know anything about geometry, you know that every point in the circle is equidistant to the center. So there's no hierarchy. Moshe is not any closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the lowly handmaid in that moment. So if you remember also, Moshe said, I will sing. And Miriam said, Shiru, sing. So what the Ma'or v'Shemesh is saying, I think he's saying something really awesome about Miriam and how she was able to grasp onto something in that moment that Moshe was not. So let's see what that was. V'zot haita kavanat Miriam ha-Neviyah. This was the intent of Miriam the prophetess. Shehotzia kol hanashim achareha ve'asta imahem hakafot. That all the women went after her, and she did with them hakafot. You probably know that word from Simchat Torah, circles. V'sod nekeva tesovev gaver. In the secret of this pasuk from Yirmiyahu, that the female will circle the male. And this might be where the circling of the bride of the groom comes from. This is something new, the pasuk says, that the female circles the male. Kedei lehamshich or elyon, asher ein sham bechinat dekar v'nukva. To draw down this higher light in which there is no aspect of male and female. V'lechein amar Moshe ashira l'Hashem. And that's why Moshe said, I will sing to God. Mipnei Moshe amar b'vchinat d'char v'nukva. Because Moshe was saying this from the perspective of masculine and feminine. Shelo hofia adayin or ha-behiruta alyon. Because this great, great light, higher light, had not yet appeared. L'chein amru, therefore they said, ashira, I will sing. Because they hadn't grasped the complete the divine. They hadn't gotten to that level yet. They understood that they were at a very high level in that moment of being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Moshe is saying there's still a higher level where I will sing then when we do away with all hierarchy and masculinity and femininity. L'chein amru lashon atid. And that's why they said it in the future. Kishe asig az ashir. When I reach this highest level, then I will sing. Aval Miriam, himshicha behakafata or elyon. But Miriam, in her circle dancing, was able to draw down this highest light. Vehesigu az asher iafshar lehasig yoter. And they, I think all the women in that moment, grasped what is, you can't grasp any more than that. They were grasping at the highest level. L'chein amra shiru ata. And therefore she said, sing now. Shehasagatam hayama she'iafshar lahasig yoter. Because they had understood, they had grasped whatever it was to grasp at the highest level. V'zeo pirush ha-pasuk, and this is the explanation of the verse. Vatikach Miriam ha-nivya achot Aaron, that Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took. Vateitzena kol anashim achareha betupim uvemecholot. And all the women went out after her with drums or timbrels and dances. Perush she'asta imahem hakafa kimchol hakerem. The explanation is that she did a circuit with them in a circle like the, and this is a description from a Mishnah about a burnt out place of a vineyard, which was in a circle. V'sod nekeva tesovev gever. In the secret of the female will go around the man. Ubezeh himshicha or elyon, and with this she drew down the highest light, asher ein sham bechinat dechar v'nukva, where there is no aspect of male and female. Every time I read this, I get a slightly different new understanding about it. It's very, very deep, and there's so much that I don't understand about it, but I hope I presented to you the basic message of it. Vata'an lahem Miriam, and Miriam answered them, Shiru Lashem, sing to Hashem. Perush, the explanation is, She'ata hasagatam hasaga gedola kolkach. Right now, you have this understanding, this grasp of reality that is so high, Masha Ief Sharlasi Gyoter, you can't grasp any more than that. Lachain, therefore, Shiru Atal Hashem, sing now to Hashem. Take advantage of the opportunity of what you are experiencing right now in this moment, even if it's not going to last, sing it now. So that's what the Ma'or V'Shemesh is saying about Miriam's prophetic ability in that moment. And the combination of the prophecy and the circles and being able to draw down this highest light of no hierarchy and no masculine and feminine. Okay, so the next time we see Miriam, it's when she spoke Lashon Hara that we alluded to with why she's called the sister of Aaron. So the pasuk in Bamidbar, it's in Parshat Balotcha, Vatedaber Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moshe. Al odot ha'isha ha'kushit, regarding the Cushite woman, asher lakach, that he had taken, and lakach, as we saw before with Yocheved and Amram, means married, ki isha kushit lakach, for he had married a Cushite woman. Okay, so for those of you who are Hebrew speakers, you might notice right away that there seems to be something wrong. We've spoken about this before. But tedaber Miriam v'Aaron. You would expect it to say, Vayedabru Miriam v'Aaron. Miriam and Aaron spoke in the third person plural. But instead, it's the third person singular feminine. The verb only agrees with Miriam. It doesn't take into account that Aaron is also part of this subject. So this is actually a common phenomena in biblical grammar. And what it implies, Rashi explains in Parshat Noach, that whomever the verb agrees with, that person was the instigator for either good or bad. So in this case, Miriam would have been understood as the instigator of this Lashon Hara, this gossip about their brother Moshe, and that explains why she was punished more severely than Aaron. So look at what the rabbis explained that she said. So that's just explaining the devar. Let's skip to this one. But to devar Miriam v'Aaron, he patcha b'dibor tchila. She spoke first. Lefichach hikdima hakatuv tchila. Therefore, the verse mentions her first. Umenayin hatayodat Miriam shepeiresh Moshe min ha'isha. So this is assuming a lot of things. So what were they speaking about? According to the Midrash, they were speaking about the fact that Moshe had separated permanently from his wife, and they no longer lived together as husband and wife. So going back to Amram and Yocheved, who had separated as husband and wife, and this again, whatever you had imagined Miriam gossiping about before, this is consistent with her value system of keeping families together and allowing families to continue to have children. And this was so disturbing to her that her own brother had completely separated from his wife. So how did she know that they had separated in this way? Rabbi Natan said, Miriam haita betzad tzipora b'sha'a sh'ne'amar l'moshe eldad u'medad mitnab'im v'machana. Miriam was at Tzipora's side when Moshe was told that Eldad and Medad were prophesizing in the camp. This is when 70 elders are appointed to help out Moshe, and Eldad and Medad continue to prophesize after all the rest of them had no longer. Sh'ne'amar l'moshe Eldad u'medad mitnabim v'machana. The pasuk says, Eldad and Medad were prophesizing in the camp. Kevan she'sham'a Tzipora, when Tzipora heard this, that there were other prophets, Amra, she said, Oy l'nishotehem shel elu, woe to the wives of these. אם הם נזקקים לנבואה, שיהיו פורשים מנשותיהם כדרך שפרש בעלי ממני. If they are required for prophecy, for they will separate from their wives, just as my husband separated from me. Umisham yada Miriam vehigida la'aron. And that's how Miriam knew that Moshe was not, that he had separated from his wife, and she told Aaron, vehigida la'aron. Uma Miriam, so what Miriam and Aaron needed to understand was that Moshe was at a different level of prophecy. It's one of the 13 principles of the Rambam that we have to believe that Moshe was a prophet like no other, and there won't be a prophet like him until Mashiach comes. And that for the level of prophecy that Moshe needed in order to lead the Jewish people, he needed to be available at all times to receive prophecy, and he therefore had to separate from his wife. And no other prophet in the history of prophets was at that level, so all other prophets were able to maintain normal marital relationships. And Miriam and Aaron needed to learn this lesson, that they were not the same level of prophets as their brother Moshe, and he had more responsibilities than they did. But you can see that this quote-unquote gossip that Miriam was engaged in with her brother was all consistent with her value system of creating peace between families, of doing the right thing, and making the population of Israel grow, as we saw in her earlier years as well. Okay, and now in Parshat Chukatz, we get to the final episode of Miriam's life, her death. Vayavo b'nei Yisrael kol ha'eda midbar Tzin. So the entire congregation of Israel arrived at the desert of Tzin, b'chodesh harishon, in the first month. So this is Nisan. Vayeshev ha'am b'kadesh, and the people settled in Kadesh, v'tamot sham Miriam v'tikaver sham. Miriam died there and she was buried there. And immediately after, we don't have any mourning, M-O-U-R-N, we don't have any, nobody says anything about Miriam's death, because below Hayamayim le'eda, there was no water for the congregation. V'yikalu al Moshe v'al Aaron, so they assembled against Moshe and Aaron. So this is where we prove that in the merit of Miriam, did they have the Be'er, the well of Mayim, of water, in the desert? Because as soon as Miriam died, the congregation had no water. And then this will lead to Moshe hitting the rock when he was supposed to speak to the rock, and the punishment that he can't enter into the land of Israel. So Rashi there says, V'tamot sham Miriam, af hi b'nishika meta, she also died with the kiss of death. U'mimdeima lo ne'amar ba al pi Hashem. So if she died through the kiss of God, why doesn't it say in regard to her death, al pi Hashem, by the mouth of God, she'eno derech kavod shamala, because it's not respectful to speak of the Most High in this way. Now, we don't really understand this. This is a very strange Rashi. We don't understand what it's saying. Uba Aaron ne'amar al pi Hashem, but with Aaron it does say al pi Hashem, by the mouth of Hashem, in Parshat Maaseh, and also with Moshe it does say that. So this is a beautiful explanation from the other Kalonymous Kalman from the 20th century. You've probably heard of him, the Piazetzna Rebbe, who was in the Warsaw Ghetto and wrote really poignant responsa answers to people with the most horrible questions. And he really was a source of inspiration until he was murdered by the Nazis in the ghetto. He was really the rabbi of the ghetto. His book is called Esh Kodesh, The Holy Fire. And it's important to know that his wife's name was Rachel Chaya Miriam. And his wife actually passed away in this parsha of Chukat. And some people see this Devar Torah that I'm going to read and translate to you for you as a eulogy of his own wife who had the name Miriam. Okay, so he's going to explain this Rashi and what it means to die Al-Pi Hashem, by the mouth of Hashem. Al-Pi can also mean because of. So, Vatamat Miriam. Miriam died there. Vilo hayamayim le'eda. And there was no water for the congregation. Ki ha-be'er b'schut Miriam. Because, as we learned, the well was there in the merit of Miriam. V'navina lama davka b'schuta. And we'll understand now why it was specifically in her merit. Lo she'anu rotim ladat lama az hayah ha-be'er davka b'schuta. Not that we want to know why then the well was specifically in her merit, ki ein lanu hasaga v'tzadeket Miriam, because we can't grasp the righteousness of Miriam, u'bishar ha-tzadikim shayu az, or any of the other tzadikim that lived then, rak maza meramez lanu. Rather, we're just going to understand what it hints to us. V'ashar ki Rashi peresh, af hi v'nishika meta, it's possible that when Rashi explained that she also died with a kiss, al pi Hashem, so why didn't it say by the mouth of God? Because this is not respectful to the Most High. What does this hint to us? Because according to a simple understanding, what does it mean that's not respectful to God? This kiss that we're talking about, the kiss of death, so to speak, is not a physical kiss. It's not with a corporal body. So these are all sorts of things about his father, who he learned this from. Shehaish Yisraeli tzarich ledaat. So the Jewish man needs to know. Shegam b'sha'a shehu mit'orer b'itaruta delatata. At the time when he is awakened, b'itaruta delatata means an awakening from below. So he thinks that he is awakening his own soul to do something good, to bring about something good. Gam kein hu yitbrach noten bo da'at v'ratzon mimala. He needs to understand that it's still not him, that it's God giving him the knowledge and the will from above, kedei sheyitorer milamata, so that he'll have this awakening from below. Ubesha'ar sifrei kodesh ita alzaremez mihapasuk b'tehillim. And we learn, we can see a hint to this in other holy books from a pasuk in Tehillim. Ulecha Hashem chesed, ki ata teshalem le'ish kema'asehu. We attribute to you, God, kindness, because you repay man for his actions. So why is that a kindness? Do you think it would be a justice that you give back man, you pay back man for his actions? So why is it a kindness? Shebemet hu yitvarach ha-me'or v'ror. Because really, God is the one that awakens him. V'notein bo koach v'ratzon kanichtav le'el. And he gives him the strength and the will, la'asot ma'aseh hatov, to do these good things. And therefore, if the will and the desire and the strength is really all from God, he shouldn't get any kind of reward. Because really, God is the one who's doing it, essentially. This is why it's a chesed, a kindness of God. That God repays man a reward, as if the man was the one who did it. V'lecha Hashem chesed, and therefore to you Hashem is chesed. Ki ata teshalem le'ish kema'asehu, because you pay man according to his actions, ki ilu hu haya ha'oseh, as if man was the one who was doing his in control of his own actions. Ad kan l'shano ha'kadosh. So this is the full quote from his father. And now he's going to offer his own explanation. Nimtza l'fi zeh. It seems according to this. She'isha. A woman who becomes righteous, vilomedet Torah, and learns Torah, umikayamet ha-mitzvot, and does the mitzvot, zot hi ma'aseh shalah. These are her own actions. Kevan she'ena mitzuva ve'osa, because she's not commanded to do most of the mitzvot, she's not commanded to learn Torah, but she does it anyway. Ve'imken, lo orveru ota kokach mimaron laze, and therefore she's not, it's not the same as a man who gets the awakening from above in order for him to have the awakening from below. The woman doesn't have such an awakening from above. It really truly comes from her, from below, from earth. Vize af hi benishika meta. And that's what it means when Rashi tells us that she too died with a kiss. And why doesn't it say by the mouth of or because of God? Because it's not respectful to God to say this. Hainu ha shaba'a lamadriga gedola kazo. Somebody, a woman who's come to this high level, lo haya bihitor verut shamala. This was not as a result of an awakening from above. Verak bi'itaruta dilatata. It was just through her own efforts and awakening from below. Lechein lo shayach lomar al pi Hashem. And therefore, it doesn't belong. It's not relevant to say by way of God, because it was by way of her own efforts. Bekevan shemakor avodata bahu, and since it came through the source of her own service, her own work, umimena novea, and from her it flows, and he's specifically using those words of a source, which we have makor is like a source of water as well, and novea, flowing waters. Lechein, therefore, habe'er, the well, makor hanovea, mayim, the source of flowing waters, mayim chayim, living waters, mayim kedoshim, holy waters, haita bischuta, was in her merit. And that is why it doesn't say al pi Hashem, which can be understood as because of Hashem, because it wasn't because of Hashem, it was because of herself and her own desire, even though she wasn't commanded, but to be close to Hashem and to improve herself and to learn Torah and to do mitzvot. And that is why the well, which is also the source of living holy waters, was in her merit. Okay, so to finish off, we see that Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam were the three leaders of the Jewish people. Moshe to teach the transmissions of the laws, Aaron to atone for the people, and Miriam to instruct the women. Oh, and this is where you see Haman HaRasha, the Zeresh, the continuation of that. Okay, and then I just want to end with this. It's from a sermon. It's from a sermon he wrote as a eulogy for righteous women. It's called the Beit Yisrael, and he is Rabbi Eliezer ben Benishti, and he was 17th century Turkey. So he wrote this whole long, it's very long eulogy on women, where he really focuses on the daughters of Sofchot, but he's talking about women in general as well. And this is the very end of it. He says, Matzino mikan, achar ha-hashkafa v'ha'iyun b'drisha v'chakira. So we see here, after we looked into it and we dug into it and we researched, Matzanu ra'inu shema'alat hanashim haksherot, hi me'ula lamala mimadragat hanashim haksherim hanigashim Hashem. So he's saying, after all this research that he put into this idea, we see that the level of kosher women is higher than the level of kosher men in how they approach God. Kamosha be'arnu ma'alot benot Sofchad, as he explained in this long treatise on the level of the daughters of Sofchad. U'bizchut nashim tzedkaniot nigalu Yisrael mimitzrayim. So as we saw before with the women dancing with their timbrels, to quote Debbie Friedman, in the merit of the women, the righteous women that were redeemed from Israel, in the merit of the righteous women, Israel was redeemed from Egypt. U'bizchut nashim tzedkaniot atidim ligael. And it's in the merit of the righteous women that they will be redeemed in the future. Uba letzion goel. And will come to Israel the Redeemer. Amen. Keni hiratzon. Let it be his will. So I think that this should really give chizuk to the women on the call to continue to learning Torah, and to the men on the call for being in a women's class. I think it also gives chizuk, and you can see also in a holy way of this, gender isn't so much important anymore in terms of who we learn Torah and who has access to Torah, and all of the classes offered. And may we all merit to be like Miriam through our own efforts to reach tremendous heights, to bring about the next redemption, the future redemption of the Jewish people and the whole world. V'imhera v'ameinu. Okay, thank you, everybody.